Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Cookie Cast. Today on Cookie Cast, it is that time. Some say the best time of the year. It is the biggest wrestling event of the year. So big, they have to split it over two nights. And just like any good wrestling event, if it's split over two nights, it's split over two podcasts. That's right. The Getting Over podcast is here to bring you WrestleMania Night 1 in our Part 1 podcast. Part 2 will follow, and it will cover the second night, almost unsurprisingly. Before we get started, please do like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And hey, if you've got a wrestling fan in your life, send this podcast their way. It really is one of the finest ways to get all of your WrestleMania information before the event. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is Cookie Cast, getting over.
Recording in progress.
Hello, hello, hello. It is the most wonderful time of the year for you to be joining us. It's not only is WrestleMania season here, but WrestleMania is so close now you can almost smell it. It is time for Getting Over episode number 62, where we're going to cover WrestleMania 40. And speaking of which, you'll know that I don't travel this road alone. So here with me are Mr. Matthew Moore, Mr. Paul Maroon and Mr. Andrew Cook. How are we all, fellas?
Very good. Very good, good. Obviously, it's WrestleMania week, isn't it now? I believe the it's been given the Super Bowl treatment in that, you know, it's Super Bowl week as opposed to just Super Bowl Sunday. So, but to refer to it as WrestleMania week.
Is that because it's now over 40 and has to have, you know, a whole week to celebrate?
Is that the rule? Am I about to do this wrong this year? That's maybe pulling the curtain back a little bit too much.
I'm trying to not use certain phrases, so we might need to abandon this before I get put on a list of some description where it's that kind of, you know, he said a nasty thing about a particular group of people.
So we'll swiftly move on. What a segue into the predictions type. That works, right? So yeah, we'll start where we always do, with the all-important predictions title. Well, it was me that picked it up last time, so walking into WrestleMania, holding on to the gold. Actually, no. Will I be holding on to the gold come WrestleMania? Who knows, because we've got the Elimination Chamber results right now. If you remember, we had the foresight to have a little bit of an in-house tiebreak before we got any further last time out. And all I'll say is, it's a bloody good job that we did. So, there was only 4 points to play for last time. And three of us got all four results, right? Paul was the one that didn't, if you were wondering. So yeah, Rhea Ripley retained against Nia Jax. Finn Balor and Damian Priest retained their titles against Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Becky obviously won the women's chamber, and Drew won the men's. Unfortunately for Paul, Liv Morgan did not win the women's chip. So we went to pick in the first two entrants in both the men's and women's on the proviso that whoever got the most right would then take the title. So, Andy, unfortunately, you didn't get any of the four. Annoyingly for Paul, he got one more than you, but obviously Paul didn't count at this point. I also got one more, but unfortunately for the rest of us, but fortunately for Mr. Moore, he picked two of the four starters, LA Knight in the men's and Naomi in the women's. So Matt takes the title heading into WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure that's the first time in the history of the podcast that three people have pulled a clean sweep in the same outing. But maybe that's what happens when we only have four matches to pick from leading into the pay-per-view.
I was going to say, when there's only four matches to pick from, it's not the most challenging.
And as well, the event before the WrestleMania.
You've got one wrong.
Shots fired. Is the But yeah, and the event leading into WrestleMania where not a lot necessarily changes all of the time. So, but nonetheless, Matt did have the foresight on the starting entrance, which takes the title. So congratulations, Matt, walking into to WrestleMania as the champion. Now, for regular listeners, you'll know that we normally go into the news here. However, we have got two episodes coming to you this time around because it's WrestleMania over two nights. So we figured we could keep you here until after WrestleMania has finished, or we could just get straight into some predictions. So yeah, as I said, this is part one of a two-part special. Thankfully, the match listings were released per night earlier this week, so we can actually give you the matches that are on night one on this podcast, and obviously listen out, check the feed for part two coming your way very shortly. So as I mentioned, as it has been since WrestleMania 36, WrestleMania is once again a two-night affair, and for the first time in a couple of years, as I mentioned, they've decided to tell us the matches, which I don't know if it was officially announced on the broadcast. I don't know if they put everything out, but thanks to Triple H's Instagram feed, He kept us all up to date. Night one of WrestleMania is coming to us live from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, which is quite hard to say, on April the 6th. And as always, the match card information is taken from WWE.com and is correct at the time of recording. If it changes, then fuck you, Triple H. So yeah, across both nights, there are 13 matches scheduled, and on night one, we're going to be going through seven of them. So, we will start with the first match on my list of Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee teaming against Dirty Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. So, we'll ease ourselves in with the predictions. A little thrown together grudge match featuring one of the greatest of all time in Rey Mysterio, three up-and-comers in Dragon Lee, Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. You'd be right in thinking that this one feels a little thrown together, as the first time I saw this match listed at all or mentioned anywhere was on Triple H's Instagram feed, as I mentioned before. Not a lot of mention of it on TV yet. Dom and Rey's past is obvious and well documented after the father and son combo faced each other at WrestleMania last year. Rey came out on top, as we know. Throughout the year, Rey's mentored Dragon Lee, first on NXT, when me and the family actually went to the States middle of last year, we actually saw Rey Mysterio at NXT with Dragon Lee at that time, and he was defending the title, he was going for the title as Dominic was defending. But since then, Dragon Lee's been drafted to SmackDown, but not really used for such a long time. I don't know if there was maybe some kind of injury in the mix as well. I don't know if that's ever been cleared up. But he's recently been inducted into the LWO, and this was a group that Santos used to be part of before he had a bit of a fallout with Rey Mysterio over the US title picture. But Santos Escobar restarted Legado del Fantasma on the main roster. For those of you keeping score, the current members of Legado del Fantasma were old members of the LWO, and old members of the LWO are now members of Legado del Fantasma. So it's completely straightforward and not confusing whatsoever. So yeah. So very simply, we'll kick things off. LWO for the win, or Dirty Dom to weasel his way past his dad with the help of Santos Escobar. Paul, do you want to kick us off this time around?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, just echoing what you said, incredibly thrown together as that sort of flavour of, ooh, these guys are on the card, let's get them a payday. Just from the sheer sort of like 50-50 booking perspective, because Ray got the win last year, put me down for Dirty Dom and Santos. There was a thing, I think, when they actually put the match together where they were all in the ring together, and I think Mysterio was with his LWO counterpart, and Carlito was one of the guys that was in the ring at the same time, and when he was choosing his partner, he went for Dragon Lee. And I think this might be a way for him to sort of get Carlito involved to cost him the match and maybe set up a little bit of a feud there moving forward, potentially.
Okay. Right, I've got you in the book for that. Andy?
Yeah, I've got Dirty Dom down as well. Just feels like, almost like some sort of symmetry, but keeping the feud going, I guess, just to keep it moving. I think a win for like Ray at this point in time would put some sort of finality to it, whereas I think WWE probably imagine there's still some legs left on this. So just for basically that reason.
Okay. Matt?
I've gone for Mysterio and Dragon Lee.
Okay.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
Flip a coin and try and give a shit. That would be the
kind of
thing.
By the time it lands. So you flip the coin, whereas Triple H just basically pulled the ball out of the bag that said Mysterio's feud when they were picking this match.
Oh shit, lads, we've got to fill some space here. What should we do? I don't know. Is it Mysterio's last WrestleMania? Maybe. Is it going to lead to something like SummerSlam with him and Dom? I don't know. We've been promising that for as long as we've been predicting The Rock against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I don't know. Something along that line. Some shenanigans maybe at some point. I don't know.
Well, you are out there on your own, Matt, for this one, because I've got Dom and Santos as well. What you just said just triggered something in my brain, though, like in the sense of could they push it to carry this on at SummerSlam? So, effectively, Rhea wins last year, Dom wins this year, and then they have, what, a custody of Dragon Lee ladder match to echo SummerSlam from years ago or something. I'm not sure. I can see it carrying on.
Surely the blow-off has to end up being Ray versus Dom retirement / mask / whatever match. Sure.
Yeah, has to be somewhere, doesn't it, down the line. But I think... purely from, as Paul mentioned, when he hit the nail on the head for me with a 50-50 booking, I can't see him getting away with it two years running, but I have a feeling that Santos will probably win by pinning Dragon Lee, but then Dom will act like he's won like the fucking Super Bowl on his own by virtue of that happening, and that's the way I see it anyway. So we'll move on. Match two on the list. Another tag team match, but this time it's time for the women to get involved. So we've got Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair and Naomi teaming against what's left of, and not competing in any other title matches, Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane and Asuka of Damage Control. Bianca has kind of had to deal with Damage Control on and off for what, the last 2 years now. In that time, the group has obviously seen some changes with the ousting of Bayley and the additions of the Kabuki Warriors. Finally, the EST may have some backup and a team to defeat Damage Control with two new additions of her own. Two new additions to the SmackDown roster we're talking about. Obviously, Naomi returned at the Royal Rumble. She's kind of taken this place of backstage conscience. She's not actually wrestled that much, but she has appeared a lot, kind of giving her thoughts on Bianca's sort of current situation. Whereas Jade Cargill was only officially added to SmackDown last week. But again, obviously debuted in an impressive performance at the Rumble. I think this one's, it's got potential to be quite a fun match, and to see kind of what Naomi, Jade and Bianca sort of do together. I think they'll pull off some sort of ridiculous triple powerbomb with Bianca like holding up the bottom of everybody else, because she's, you know, she has to be seen as like Superwoman. But then she's got a bit of competition now from Jade Cargill. She's not necessarily the strongest on the roster anymore. And at some point that's got to play out, surely. But will it be the first match? I don't see what's left of Damage Control necessarily lasting very much longer either. So we might be in for a case of getting that coin back out, Matt, giving it a bit of a flip and seeing which one blows up into dust first. But yeah, which team is going to emerge from this one victorious? Which one will carry on that little bit longer? Matt, do you want to kick us off on this one?
I've gone for Bianca, Naomi and Jade. I think they're going to want Jade Cargill to look big and impressive and win at the end. Obviously, Bianca's still there. And Dakota Kai can probably keep the pin on it, something like that. And yeah, it all looks good. And like you said, you can start to see that dissension in Damage Control. And maybe something either Bianca and Jade team together to win the tag team belts at some point. Or, like you said, go against each other to kind of, you know, who's the strongest, fittest, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Paul?
Yeah, same for me. You don't really hold off on having Jade come back to TV after the debut at the Royal Rumble without meaning to give her the big impressive win on her sort of first official match, as it were. So like Matt said, you'd imagine that Dakota Kai is probably the one who's going to take the pin. Probably just ends up being the culmination of the Damage Control No More sort of thing. So yeah, Cargill, Naomi and Belair for the win for me, please.
Okay, Andy, you in agreement there?
Yeah, absolutely in agreement with everything that's been said there.
Okay. No surprises, I've gone that way as well. I think, particularly for Cargill, I agree perfectly with what's been said about the tag titles. This has got that kind of, they win the tag titles together, but are like almost like uncomfortable with it. And then it's the one-upsmanship. Almost like, dare I mention this name, but almost like the Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit tag team of back in the day, where they then spend each and every match trying to get one over on each other. But yeah, simple one for me that I've gone exactly the same way. So Bianca and her mates for that. Right. Next. This one should be interesting. The tag team title 6-pack ladder match. I don't know if this one might even kick off the whole thing, the whole weekend. They like to start with a massive bang. And I can see this one being the opening match, despite the listing that Triple H has put on. I can see this being the sort of the tone setter for the weekend. Judgment Day have been one of the main focal points throughout the year, so it makes perfect sense to give them a featured match as well, like a bang at the start. But we will see Finn Balor and Damian Priest defending their undisputed tag team championships against DIY, so Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Awesome Truth, Amazing R-Truth. I had to represent just for Andy, but the New Day are part of this, although still obviously without Big E. So Kofi and Xavier Woods, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and finally Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Solid mix of old and kind of new teams in this one. When I say new, I obviously mean new to a WWE audience at least, because the only real sort of new team is probably Waller and Theory. However, rumours are afoot that there is a team that could potentially get replaced in this match before the weekend shenanigans kick off. I would, if it happens, I would bet my house on the fact it'll be Waller and Theory that go. If not, it'll be Tyler and Pete Dunne, which would be a massive shame for the UK fan base, but still. But yeah, there's all of those teams, but there are even more variables kind of in play here, because the one final complication added to the mix was that Michael Cole announced on Raw this past week that once one set of belts is retrieved, so like say like the Raw tag team titles get pulled down first, the match continues until then the second set of tag team titles are pulled down. So one team could win both. But this kind of lends to the fact that they're splitting them back up again. It's a good way to do it. Kind of, I didn't expect them to do it. I moreover expected them to produce yet another title belt and like unify it into back into one belt. But it makes much more sense to then have a set of tag champs on each show. If they go that way, I'll be well happy. That though obviously adds a wrinkle to our predictions. Because then do you predict one team to win both? If Finn Balor and Damian Priest retain the full set? Or do you pick two separate teams with the hope that you might even get a bonus point out of the equation? There is that option. Yeah, it's looking less likely that there could be a straight retention, but it's still not impossible. However, what would be impossible is for us to carry on at this point before we dive into this very prediction and not just pause, consider all of the complications, refresh our glasses and be right back with you. You don't need to worry about any of that. We won't be gone for long. We will be right back in your ears. So please don't touch that dial, as they used to say when dials were a thing, and we'll be right back with you.
Recording in progress.
As it's just been and gone, I really hope that the listeners, potentially viewers, missed that little Easter egg from Mr. Williams just then. However,
perfect timing, yeah.
Well, there is that. but yeah, we will get straight into then discussing this tag team title situation. Now, a question has arisen, Mr. Williams. What was your question?
So obviously we've got the six teams as you went through just then. Now, is it obviously, like, I was going to say, is it a 50-50 split, three teams from Raw, three teams from SmackDown? But obviously the Judgment Day, being that they are the tag team champions of both brands, have the authority to go on both. So I suppose they would count as one from either. So as far as I can tell, you've got DIY and, are they still calling themselves the Awesome Truth?
It was the they reuniting of, yeah.
They would be your designated Raw pair, I'm guessing.
But, well, the rest of Judgment Day are allocated to Raw officially, because obviously Rhea's the Women's World Champion. Dom's just the punching bag on. Well, I suppose he's one up from JD McDonagh, so you know there is that. At least he's got that going from him. But officially, they are a Raw tag team. So for me, you've got Balor and Priest from Raw, DIY, Awesome Truth, New Day are also a Raw team.
Are they?
Yeah, because they've spent the best part of last year feuding with Imperium, who are also on Raw.
Yeah, true.
And then you've got Waller and Theory and Bate and Dunne, who are designated.
Sorry, Waller and Theory, are you referring to A-Town Down Under there?
Sorry, I can't get on board with that. A-Town Down Under, like, sounds like some sort of move that Love Honey would email you about over the weekend. Like, it's just not a thing. Yeah, I'm not on board with that. Okay, well, yeah, those two teams are designated to SmackDown. So really, it's like a 4-2 split for me.
Yeah, I mean, my question was obviously based around, does it really matter which set of tag belts you're sort of aiming to get? I mean, obviously, when you have the Money in the Bank ladder match, that's obviously non-brand specific. That's just for a briefcase that will then entitle you to cash in on the champion of whichever brand you so desire. So, I don't know, is it going to be a case of they're probably planning to do a shake-up once WrestleMania's over anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So, does it really tend to matter? Because, personally, I think this, obviously, you know, because I read the dirt sheets and all that sort of jazz, so I'm an educated fan and all of that bollocks. So I think this probably is where they split the tag titles back up, and you have two teams, because they've always said before that like one of the visuals they really enjoy. I think the first time they did it was when it was Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho, when the belt had become, they were in a ladder match, and the belt had become unsnapped, and they were basically on each end of it, like with a bit of a tug of war. And I think you could potentially have that, but obviously, with the two sets of belts and the two teams that win fall either way, with them in their possession, potentially.
Mm. My question, just to add a further complication to it, would be, because they've specified that one full set of belts has to be removed, what happens if one of each gets pulled down first?
Well, yeah.
There are so many scenarios in this. And to that end, I also feel like we should add in the wrinkle that we should pick a team that's going to win a set of titles, if indeed you are picking two teams. But if you can specify which brand's titles, then that, I think, should be a bonus point as well. So just to up the ante somewhat on this one. So it feels like there's quite a lot to get in, predictions-wise. So everybody follows what we're going to pick, right? We're all good. In which case, Andy, do you want to go first?
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. I don't mind.
Bear in mind, Andy's at a bit of an advantage here, because he's only possibly picking from five teams, because we know there's not a hell's chance he's picking one of those teams to win. So,
well, I'm happy to jump in first. That's absolutely fine. On the back of what we were just talking about, for the fact there is that 4-2 split, I have a feeling that it'll be two Raw teams that win, and therefore, by de facto, one gets moved over. So to that end, I'm not picking Judgment Day to win anything. We may come back to that theory at some point later in this podcast, or indeed the next. But from the list, I think that it's a toss up between two. I'm gonna take, for the titles, I'm gonna take DIY and Awesome Truth, and I'm gonna pick DIY to have the SmackDown titles as well. I'm guessing that Paul's somewhere around that ballpark.
The exact same, but to make it different, from a points perspective, swap the brands around for me.
Okay, so you're good.
I did think it was the other way around, but, you know, I'll play for points. Let's put it that way.
The only thing that puts me off that slightly, which may lend well to you, Paul, is the fact that Gargano's wife is obviously on Raw. So there is that element. But I think as a team, I think they probably fit better on SmackDown. Awesome Truth, I don't know. I think that Truth definitely deserves a run at something after the last sort of 6 to 8 months he's had of being the light entertainment of the Judgment Day element. So that's why I've picked Truth to kind of get his moment finally. Plus as well, it deserves it after being like, what, 102 and appearing at whichever WrestleMania number he's up to now, because he's not really done anything, has he? He does deserve a bit of a WrestleMania moment off the back of it, for me anyway. Okay, so we've picked the same two teams, but swapped the brands around. Matt, where are you going?
I've got Awesome Truth with the Raw.
Yep.
And I'm not saying it, but the Theory and Waller team taking the SmackDown ones.
So there would be no sort of brand change in those predictions, then. Those would be as is, as it was. Okay, so, Andy, we'll come full circle. Now that you know probably what's not going to happen, let's face it, where are you going?
So I already had Awesome Truth to take the Raw titles. I feel at this point in time, being last and after everything's been said, I feel it would be remiss of me not to say the New Day to win the SmackDown titles.
Okay. So that would put them, what, in terms of number of reigns, would that put them then in front of the Usos? Are they already in front of the Usos? It's just the length of the reign.
I don't think the Usos is number of reigns. Is it not combined total dates?
I think it was just like almost Roman Reigns-esque. I think it was just individual run, I think, was the record that they took off them. Because I'm pretty sure New Day took it off Demolition.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And then the Usos took it off New Day. So does that mean that there'll be a particularly frosty day in hell if not only Andy picks that correctly, but then it actually happens?
I would love to take points off the back of this. I'd absolutely love it.
Is this that whole theory of betting against what you want to happen to what you want to happen actually then happens instead?
Let's put it this way. I'm prepared to lose points on this one.
One thing that we did discuss was obviously, Stu, you covered it in the fact that like, there was talk of one of the teams might get replaced in the match. I think had we said outside of over the recording that if one of the teams does end up getting replaced by another team that ends up winning, if you've selected that team, you kind of get the replacement as a bit of a good faith.
I think that's only fair because there's no way like this close to WrestleMania. And the fact that, I mean, they could take, apart from Judgment Day, they technically could take any team out. It was only me surmising that it's most likely to be Theory and Waller. But if that was to happen, for the sake of Matt's prediction, then I think it's only fair that then whoever the replacement team
I'd agree with that.
Gets the point. If that happens. Right. Okay. That feels like a lot of carnage is about to happen in that match. There was a lot to take in through those predictions, and it has thrown up some differences, so that's always good from a not needing to do tie break situation. Okay, so we'll move along. The next one on the docket, the Battle of the Usos, Jay versus Jimmy. As mentioned, Judgment Day have been a bit of a focal point. Well, you can't argue that the Bloodline haven't been a focal point for the last 3 to 4 years now. It's certainly getting on. But yeah, this past year has seen Jey Uso strike out on his own after being brought over to Raw by none other than Cody Rhodes, certainly from a storyline perspective anyway. Since the move, Jey has found like his single stock rising, but he hasn't really been able to capture any singles gold as yet. Obviously, he had the tag titles with Cody for a little bit shortly after the move. But his most recent attempt at singles title was against Gunther. Didn't go to plan, though, on the basis of Jimmy Uso letting his sibling jealousy get in the way. Started to meddle a bit in the old business. And these interruptions have just continued ever since. It's always like back in the day when somebody entered through the crowd, or you know, there was always kind of, you could hear that crowd reaction first, You can tell that the Usos have kind of got this over by the fact that when Jimmy Uso last appeared in the crowd, before the cameras could get on him, you could just hear the entire audience start chanting yeet, no yeet between them, which I thought was great. But yeah, Jay seemingly had enough of all this, and he challenged his twin to a match at WrestleMania. Lots of questions again. Are we going to see a clean fight? How many times will Solo Sikoa get involved? And I guess the only way I could finish this little segment was in the city of brotherly love, which brother leaves victorious. Andy, seeing as you dibbed out last time, you can have the first one this time.
I've got Jay down to win. I feel that's just about right for this one. I did it all day. I had Jimmy down to win, but I changed my mind just before we started recording.
Okay. Paul?
I think there's been talk of Rikishi getting involved with this one. Could it even be argued that he's the sort of the late replacement as the special guest referee on this one, perhaps?
I think it's too close now. I think they'd have let that slip by now if that was happening. I think that would have been on Raw the final Raw before Mania.
You're forgetting there's still a SmackDown before WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I still think it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Potentially. I think the most logical one is Jay, if they are going to keep them separate and not put them all back together and stuff like that. Stick me down for Jay.
Okay. I agree in so much as I think that Jay will win. But there's something in the back of my mind about this one, in the sense of they've now actively come out and said that this is night one. So this is going to happen earlier in the night before we get to the huge tag team, which I assume will only be the main event. And then does that kind of... Is something going to happen during this match which then stops Jimmy and Solo then getting involved like later on? I'm not sure. I think Jay will win, but then he'll probably get beaten down massively to the point where he's not a factor in the match later on, but the other two are. So that's kind of a little bit of foreshadowing, I guess, on my part. So yeah, I'm going for Jay to win, but then to be served his own backside on a silver plate by the end of the proceedings. Matt?
I've gone for Jey Uso as well.
Ooh, clean sweep.
I just thought, yeah, it seems like he's on a certain trajectory, and they'll probably keep him on that.
You feel like it's sort of caught him off guard a little bit as to how popular he's become?
I think
it shouldn't have done, because the Usos have been so popular for so long. But I suppose I'm wondering whether people are getting sick of the bloodline stuff.
Just sort of worried that they were going to hinder it a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
Were you going to jump in, Paul?
Well, I was just going to say, I suppose the only sort of comparison you could pull for it is the Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy sort of scenario that he had at WrestleMania 25. And I think if you'd have done a straw poll then, 95 out of 100 people would probably say, yeah, Jeff Hardy's definitely winning that one, because he's the sort of the bigger one of the two. You'd think he's probably the most strength, he's got the strength in a solo career and stuff like that. So are we all being a little bit silly and thinking this is WWE booking? It's nailed on that Jimmy gets the win via nefarious doings.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's in the book now. It's too late.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Also, it's not main event Jimmy Uso, is it?
Very true. Although, if he does win, spot that on a t-shirt coming your way in the next.
I'd love it. I'd love it if he just starts calling himself mid-card Jimmy Uso.
Okay, so we've got a clean sweep then across that one. So Jey Uso across the board. So we'll move on to the Intercontinental title match. So Gunther defending against Sami Zayn. And after winning a 5-man gauntlet match on Raw, Sami Zayn gets his chance at Gunther on the biggest stage of them all. By the time that WrestleMania does roll around, Gunther will have extended his record-breaking title run to 664 days. In that time, Gunther's gone through superstars like Jey Uso, Chad Gable, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, just to name a few. And obviously, Sami Zayn is looking to win titles at back-to-back WrestleManias after taking the tag gold with Kevin Owens last year. Winning against the Bloodline was one thing, especially with a partner. Winning a singles match against Gunther is an entirely different prospect. Do we think Zayn is going to topple this record this weekend? Do we think he's going to be the guy? Andy's very firm in that one. So is Matt, seemingly.
No, this is not the man to take down the reign that has lasted this long. It needs to be somebody big. It needs to be somebody that's just completely dominant. And when that reign ends, it needs to end in a that makes sense kind of way. And this isn't it. So I've got Gunther to retain on this one.
Okay, that's fine. That is in the book. I'm torn on this one because we had the situation of a red hot Sami Zayn for the majority of last year, and then him and Kevin Owens got separated and he just fell off into the abyss, never to be seen again, and to be losing week after week after week after week, and they've kind of made it a bit of a thing. By the time that he won the gauntlet match, it was kind of telling with the crowd that the crowd was seemingly behind Chad Gable instead, and maybe perhaps he did have a better case for winning that match. But now they've kind of brought Sami Zayn and Chad Gable together. That feels a little bit like they're just trying to piggyback Zayn off the back of Chad Gable's new popularity as well. If this match had taken place 6 months ago, completely without a doubt, I'd have said Sami Zayn. Now, I'm still saying that Sami Zayn will win, but only because of that union with Chad Gable. If they'd have gone in as cold as he was a fortnight ago, then not for me. But now they've tried to pull it back round again. I really hope they don't go full-fledged and induct Sami Zayn into the Alpha Academy, because I don't think that's his scene. Well, they've done more stupid things, let's be fair. Matt?
I've gone with Gunther. Yeah.
You okay?
Stick with him.
All right. Paul?
I'm the same as you on this one. This was probably one of the more difficult ones to call, just for that reason. And like you said, it almost felt as though they know that they kind of know they've made a mistake going with Zayn, not going with Gable. And then, I don't know, it just now feels as if they're sort of not backtracking as such, because obviously they haven't changed the match and stuff like that, but I think if they could have it, if they could have the time over again, would they potentially make it a triple threat or put Gable in the match instead of Zayn? Because it almost feels like it was set up for Gable to be the guy to end up being the one to beat him. So that's why, I'll play it safe and I'll go with Gunther to retain.
Okay, so I am on my own. Another reason that I wondered about Zayn was because they're playing out like Chad Gable is the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. He's super nice. He's too nice, almost. I wondered if Zayn would win and then Gable would be ringside, and then immediately Gable just absolutely whoops him, and then
part of my thinking was, is it Gunther to retain because Gable turns on Zayn and costs him a match? But then you've got the problem. But then you've got the problem there. Do you then just ruin any sort of potential huge babyface run that Gable could have and stuff like that? I don't know. There's a lot of question marks on this one.
I think it is difficult. I think the longer Gunther's run goes as well, the more difficult it becomes, because, like Andy said, you need it to be like a big dominant figure that takes it. They haven't got many of them kicking about at the moment that aren't involved in other stuff. Seemingly Sheamus is like on the back burner somewhere, not sure if his contract is coming up, not sure if he'll return. Drew's obviously tied up in other stuff. Bronson Reed, a big, physically big guy, but not a big enough name to take it for me at this point. So, yeah, they're a bit short of people. But if he'd have been babyface, I'd have said Shinsuke Nakamura should have been the guy. But you know, they've gone that way with him that it doesn't make sense either. So it is difficult, that one. Right, okay, two matches to go on this podcast, and we'll head into the first of the women's world title matches. This one is the one held by Rhea Ripley, and she defends against Elimination Chamber winner Becky Lynch. This match has actually been on a bit of a slow build for some time. Rhea's been on an absolute tear over the last year, run absolute roughshod over the Raw women's scene. Becky's had to look on from afar as the paths haven't really crossed in the ring, but she's been there in the background taking little shots in backstage segments and stuff. When it came to the Rumble, the build up to the Rumble, majority of that from memory was Becky and Rhea kind of sniping at each other backstage about what would happen when Becky won, and obviously she didn't. So the seed was sown, and it's kind of grown into where we are now. Obviously, we headed into the press conference for WrestleMania that happened before Elimination Chamber even took place. The only two women that appeared on the stage to argue for any period of time was those two. So that was why last time around it was a bit of a foregone conclusion for me that Becky would win that Chamber match. Rhea didn't have an easy night necessarily at Elimination Chamber, because she had to defend against, probably much to Matt's surprise more than anybody else, a very much improved Nia Jax. She didn't once shout about hurting her ass either at any point, which was mildly disappointing. But the crowd in Australia was just nuts, and we're talking like Bulldog at Wembley 92 levels of nuts for Rhea Ripley. There was no way in the end that she would have been able to leave that building without winning. But yeah, WrestleMania also marks a year of Rhea's title reign. Becky Lynch hasn't held gold in 2 years. If it's given the right time, this has potential to be match of the weekend. Rhea's got form. She's done it before with Charlotte Flair for me on more than one occasion. Can she get that kind of match out of Becky Lynch as well? You'd like to think so. But given how hot Rhea's been, given the fact that Becky's not held a title in so long, something's got to give. Which way does it go? Paul?
So, I don't know if it's come up already, but have we seen any WrestleMania gear come out yet?
No, but surely that's going to be somewhere.
You'd imagine so. I think we said it last year, Ripley don't need to lose this title for a long time, and I still think there's legs in this yet. So, Ripley to retain me.
Okay. Short, sharp, and straight to the point. Okay, that's in the book for Rhea. Matt?
I've gone Rhea Ripley as well. Similar kind of deal. I don't know why you take the belt off her at the moment. She's, like, super popular, that type of thing. I mean, kind of foreshadowing probably a future prediction. If Seth Rollins is going to go away for a bit, I would assume that maybe Becky Lynch will go away for a bit so they can possibly have a bit of family time, that type of stuff. I think the women's division's not in the same position that it was, like, what, 2 years ago, where it looked pretty bare. I think there's plenty of people to kind of step up and take her spot, as it were, while she's away. Lose to Rhea Ripley and perhaps goes away for a bit to come back probably around the Rumble time, maybe.
Andy?
Yeah, similar to what Paul was saying, we predicted that this title wasn't going to change hands anytime soon, and I'm sticking with that. I think it's just got so much in the way of legs that it's just not going to be for a while, and I mean a good while. So, yeah, Rhea to retain for me.
Okay, that's all down, and this will be a clean sweep. I agree. For the fact that they've been happy to let this build and build slowly, 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 as then Matt said, if Seth happens to disappear for a little while, Becky goes with him. I don't think it'll necessarily be as long as the Rumble, but SummerSlam has it written all over for me. The person that you mentioned to step straight into the position, they've got a ready-made story in Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's still on that revenge tour, and Rhea Ripley is the top of that hit list, so I think she will step straight into that position and very comfortably do so. Rhea Ripley has been the biggest part of Monday Night Raw in, what, 8 months at least. Overshadowed Cody, I would even say, for a good portion of that time. Her confidence is just there for everybody to see. I'm not talking about the Sting Face thing, before anybody misconstrues that comment. But she's got it all. She's an absolute superstar. Like, she, for my money now, if she appeared at any kind of convention or anything like that, she would be well within her rights to be charging the highest amount. But yeah, I can't see it. And again, even if they then give the title to Liv for a little bit, nothing to stop then Rhea getting it back by the time Becky appears, or even Becky taking it and then Rhea becoming the one that's chasing again. It makes no sense taking it off for now for me. Plus, as Andy always likes to point out, and he's missed his chance, she's got a book to promote, so you know she's got to go off and do that for a little bit first. But yeah, again, that's a clean sweep then. So we've got one match left of night one, and not sure if you've heard, but there's a tiny kind of like little insignificant kind of tag match going to be happening. Somebody, to Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and this, I think he's called The Rock. Some people might have heard of him. I couldn't care either way, to be fair, as we all know. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal, not only for night one of WrestleMania, but the implications that it will have for night two. So, that being said, we're just going to take 2 seconds again, and we will be right back to you.
Recording in progress.
There we go. Right back at it. Okay, so what I feel has to be, surely to God, has to be the main event of night one. You know, apologies to anybody who particularly enjoys women's wrestling for the fact that they seem to have been absolutely fucking forgotten about this year. Yeah, we'll get to Bayley on the next episode. Don't worry, Paul. I know you were fretting for a second. But yeah, it's got to be main event of night one, and it's that tiny, 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 insignificant, nobody barely notices tag team match with The Rock, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Right, first question. Is it fair that The Rock gets to feed his massive ego on another WrestleMania appearance?
Oh, is this a question to the group?
Yeah, yeah.
No comment.
Okay.
Why not? You know.
I mean, nothing smacks of I'm your boss than walking in and taking the top spot from people who've, you know, been doing it for the last since he left.
This has been building for way longer than that, though. That's not we have evidence, podcasting evidence, that we've been talking about this for 2 years. So
yeah, well,
I would suggest that This is you know, a coincidence would be.
Let's not beat around the bush in the respect of this isn't the match they expected it to be, though.
Oh no!
And at some point, somewhere down the line, surely The Rock versus Roman Reigns will still happen. Maybe they can fight over who inducts his grandma into the Hall of Fame now. I'll stop it because I could, as we all know, I could be here for some time. But yeah, we know the drill by now. Unless you've been living under a small boulder, you know that Cody won the Rumble. You know that he was, then he wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't picking Roman Reigns. And Super Dwayne swooped in to save professional wrestling from the evil clutches of absolutely nobody. Then everybody seemingly in the world woke up, demanded that Cody take his rightful place, much to the annoyance of the newly christened Diarrhea Dwayne. Dwayne slapped Cody. Cody challenged The Rock to a singles match. Completely wimped out of it for now, and instead suggested this tag team match for night one of WrestleMania. Not just any old tag team match, though. If Cody and Seth win, Cody's match against Roman on night two for the Undisputed title will be free of the Bloodline. But if the Bloodline beat Seth and Cody, then that title match will be contested under Bloodline rules, meaning there are no rules. So just a normal no DQ match then. But, you know, at least he gets to put his stamp on it again just to inflate his ego that little bit more. Anyway, there are lots of different scenarios here, including one where I'm sure in an alternate universe I haven't slagged him off about 55 times before we've got to the point of predicting.
Not physically possible.
It's like Tourette's, man. I can't help it at this stage. But yeah, the result of this will obviously have a huge effect on night two. It's been the underlying theme of everything WWE related for the last 4 years. Will it end? Like, I guess is one question this weekend. Like, are we going to get the story finished? This match kind of, like I say, has a hand in that, because we could go round and round with this for ages and ages, because Seth and Cody win. Gets a straight up match night two. There was no specifying that the World Heavyweight Championship match, though, would be free from Bloodline, regardless of the result. So, you know, Seth might have that to deal with. They've also been sowing the seeds of, will Seth turn on Cody? Will The Rock turn on Roman? Is it just going to be a straight up match? As we mentioned before, Jimmy and Jay fight earlier in the night. Are then Jimmy and Solo and I guess even Jay to an extent going to get involved in whatever happens here? By the time that this match is finished, half the roster could have been out front having a bit of a ruck, and it seemingly would still make sense but not be any less of a car crash. I don't know whether I should go first maybe on this one, but only because of I kind of want to see your face on the basis of then. I'm picking The Rock and Roman Reigns to win this one. And not only would I pick that, but I think that The Rock will pin Cody Rhodes. Okay, Paul's got his hand up there.
That was a, ditto.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you were going to tell me off for something. I thought you were going to... No. I thought that was going to be the signal for you've called the police, because
exactly
clearly something's happened in my house.
No, exactly the same. I won't go so far as to give away what I think will then happen with Night Two's main event. I'll save that until we get to it.
Got another podcast. You can find out yourselves. Just, you know, carry on, troops.
But yeah, for the Night One main event, I believe it will be The Rock and Roman Reigns that get the win. More specifically, it will be The Rock that pins Cody Rhodes to set that up.
Andy?
Very much like Paul, my prediction for this match
in a particular way, foreshadows my prediction for another match on a different night to save it for a different podcast. So what I will say is, in an attempt to keep the powder dry, I have also gone with a Roman Reigns and the Dwayne to win this match. And that in no way, shape or form foreshadows anything for future matches.
Okay, that leaves Matt with the honours of the final prediction for night one.
I've gone with the same.
Okay.
I've gone with the same as well. Whenever there's a stipulation added to a match that's going to influence a future match, that never is left. Now it's going to be a normal match. Never happens, does it? It never goes, the outcome of this match depends on the future match's influence to make it no rules. It's 100% going to end up being with the rules being normal. Nope.
Well, it's like when they have the 2 out of 3 falls match, and it's like, oh, the first fall is a steel cage match. The second fall is a everything's actually on fire and doused in petrol match. And the third fall, only if required, in a gallons of water to put everything out match. Ooh.
Will it ever
get to that point?
Can you imagine if they did stipulation match 1, stipulation match 2, and if required, the third match was just a normal wrestling match? You'd be like, nah, this is the first time it's only going 2. But no, that was another part of the thinking.
There's definitely a saying that relates to adult material, I think, would be the way to best describe that. But I'll keep it clean.
No, that was part of the thinking as well, Matt. That if they're going to specify what it could potentially be night two, it's not going any other way, really, is it? Like, you're absolutely bang on.
I did say there's going to be shenanigans in it. There'll be some people are going to turn up. There's going to be outside influences in that match.
Like I said, it could be half the roster, because in theory, like, there's so many people woven through that story now. By the end of the night, you'll have Jimmy, Solo, Jay. Obviously, Heyman will be around anyway. Then Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens could be in there. And then because Seth's around, you could have Drew out there, to which we also know that CM Punk is still going to be at WrestleMania weekend. So that, not including the people in the match, just immediately off the tip of our tongues, is 8 other people. Like, yeah.
I'll tell you something we haven't actually sort of considered at this point. Obviously, Damian Priest, Money in the Bank, still in play. Isn't it beyond the realms of possibility that we could have a cash in this match that then, like, balls up, like, you know, night two's World Heavyweight Championship match?
I don't think they would have announced the second night's matches for.
They can always get away with the card subject to change bollocks, can't they? So.
I don't think it'll be during that match.
I would be very surprised if it
doesn't
happen, but it adds another wrinkle to it.
Well, it's not to say that. So add to the 8 we've already listed, Paul's then potentially a tease of a cash in. So there's Damian Priest plus what, Finn Balor,
yeah,
JD McDonagh. then Dom, then Rhea. And
I was going to say, that brings out Rhea, so that brings out Becky, so that brings out Liv, and then that
lumberjack match.
Enzo Amore or something.
I mean, there's talk about 12 degrees of separation to get to to get to Enzo, but yeah, I take your point. But yeah, so that is it then. We've all gone clean sweep for what we believe will be the main event of night one. Has anyone got anything they want to add on that they think might be the little any other wrinkles for night one they think may happen?
Well, it's like, just sort of like, obviously sort of jumping forward a little bit. It like Matt said, you don't sort of like hang that little particular juicy carrot of the sort of the main event of night two basically just being a let's do whatever the fuck we want match. And do you, I mean, is there a possibility that Cody and Seth win the match, but Heyman just sort of like comes in and says, oh no, I've got the authority to restart this one, as the, like, you know, there was no definitive pinfall, or like, you know, Rock's foot was under the rope, or is there some sort of shenanigans there where they actually lose the match, but then it gets restarted and they go on to win and stuff like that?
There's all sorts, like, just purely for the, again, for the amount of people that could be involved in it, there's an, like, almost an infinite number of ways they could go with a finish. And I don't think there's any doubt which way the finish will inevitably end up. It's, we know the destination, we just don't know the journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is us. That is part one. But as we mentioned, WrestleMania is two nights. Therefore, getting over is two parts this time around. So join us again right now, if you like. Just let the feed roll. We will be back with you for part two of WrestleMania 40 predictions. So thank you very much, gents, for wrapping up night one with me, and on to the next.
So there we go. What do you think of that? Part one done, part two to follow. Big thank you for joining us for this first part. Before you go, please do like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. Why don't you drop your predictions in the comments section? Also, check out the website, thecookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and email button, and that way you can get in touch with us. Email your predictions over to us. Right, that's it for this part. Join us for part two. And until then, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
This has been another episode of CookieCast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share and subscribe.